All right, we're going to Psalm 4. We've already finished up Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3. Now we're going to Psalm 4. A little bit of a mini-series here in this whole thing is going to be on character. Good night to keep going here. Somebody's having a good time out there. They have a good time. No, you ought to have a good time. You come to the house of the Lord, you ought to have a good time. Okay, only 8 verses in Psalm 4. The scripture says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast but gladness in my heart. I'm sorry, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safely." How do you define character? We know that there's a lot of characters out there. I think we heard a bunch of them on TV the other night, a bunch of characters. Not the good kind of characters. Kind of character we're talking about is the kind of character that God is interested in building in every single one of us. So we might hear such words as integrity. We might hear the word honesty. Or maybe trustworthiness to define character. And certainly they are elements of character. But for the believer, it's got to be more. For the believer, it's got to rise to a higher level. So for the believer, a more apt definition would be a consistent willingness to allow Jesus to live out his life through us, regardless of one's circumstances. Now, the point is this, that the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the character that God is after in our lives. So in a nutshell, it is Christ's character becoming our character. And so we take on this fourth psalm to discover God's plan for producing a Christ-like character in the redeemed. So it's the idea of progressive sanctification, that we ought not to be the same as we were the day we were saved. We ought to be more like Christ with each and every passing day, certainly a lot more than we were last year. And by the end of this coming year, 2019, then we ought to be even more like Christ. Amen? That's the goal that the Holy Spirit has. So this idea of progressive sanctification, in which we allow our character to be transformed by God. Now, we may not always like the way God transforms character, but God will do what is important. He'll do what is necessary in our lives to bring us to that place. And so we find here in this psalm 8 character building steps he uses in our lives to shape us and to mold us into the character of Christ. So step number 1 tonight, problems can build character. When Jack gave his testimony, I said, "Boy, do I have a message for you tonight, sir." at least on verse 1 and 2 tonight, if we get that far. So step number 1, problems can build character, as it says in verse 1. "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." So you're not the only one who has or may be experiencing stress. David, on any number of occasions, and certainly as a king, he would have to experience a tremendous amount of stress. So what is the first response you have when you discover you've got a problem? So you wake up in the morning and your head says, "Got some problems before me today." I again just sense it. My antennas are all over the place. And yep, there's trouble coming down the road. Well, what do? Do you blow up? You go into work, flat tire, car quits. On a day like today, that would not be fun. That would really be problematic. Do you try to convince God that you don't deserve it? whatever the problem might be. Lord, I really don't deserve this. Lord, I've been doing my devotions. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying, and I've been tithing, and I've been doing all the things that, well, everything that you would have me to do. And so you can be faithful in all the things and still experience problems. Try to convince God the timing is bad timing. God, your timing is off. Well, I don't think God's going to agree with you on that one. So honestly, I don't know when problems ever have a good, a better, or a best time. Do you? No problem would be good, but if you're going to have a problem, there is never a good time. Not even a better time. Because no matter what that problem might be, and whenever it shows up, it's always going to be a bad time. So God is a better judge of the timing factor than you and I are. He will never give us more than what we can handle, and he will always give it to us at the right moment. So Absalom, and this is really about Absalom. He is David's in great degree of distress because of what his son Absalom has done. Absalom has turned David's kingdom, literally his son, upside down. He has turned a great number of people against David. And David's immediate action was to take it to the Lord in prayer. He could have thrown a hissy fit, and he could have said a number of things, done a number of things, and he could have called for his soldiers and gone out there to take care of Absalom, but he took it to the Lord in prayer. It was the first thing that he did. And we see that in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He's the God of David's righteousness. In other words, David was righteous because he believed in God, and God's righteousness was imputed to David. But he said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And so God increased him. God gave him a capacity to be able to do the right things, say the right things, and act accordingly. Now, some of the things or some of the thoughts that may have gone through David's mind may well be like some of our thoughts when we find ourselves facing some difficult situations that may be extremely stressful. But he could have said, am I being punished? Lord, is there some unconfessed sin in my life that I haven't dealt with? Have I fallen out of favor with you, Lord? While we may try to question God's wisdom and God's timing, this fourth psalm reveals the basis for problems, and that is that they build character. Every problem builds character. You and I will not have only one problem because we have a lot of character development to go through, a lot of character building, if you will. And so we're going to be facing problems on a continual basis. So the best thing to do is learn right up front, take it to the Lord. Don't fault him. Don't chide him. Don't try to disagree with him. The question is, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? How do you want this thing to come about? So we can view problems as being a lot like spiritual weightlifting. And as surely as muscle is built by resistance when you're lifting weights or you're doing whatever you want to do at the gym to build any kind of muscle mass or tone your muscles, it requires resistance. And to be honest with you, that's probably why a lot of us don't like to exercise a whole lot, because, you know, there's a muscle resistance there, and it says, oh, I haven't done that in a while, and oh, that really hurts, and oh, man. And you know the next day when you go to get out of bed, you have to crawl out, crawl on the floor to get to wherever you need to get to, pop a few aspirins there so you can get some relief on the sore muscles and whatever else. But let me see, there's lots of places. Surely as muscle is built by resisting, by resistant problems are the weights that are on a spiritual level are going to build us up spiritually. Because trials and problems are not meant to discourage us. They're meant to do what? To encourage us. And how does that work? We get in the Word of God and we find God has answers. We make application of the answers, and does it not encourage us in our relationship with the Lord? Absolutely. So regardless of how we look at our problems, God looks at them as a means to build our character or to build character into our lives. And we can always grow continually in this area of character. Now, while I do not recommend that we pray for problems, the reality is the more successfully we deal with them, the more our character is going to be built up. Now, notice I said successfully. And there are things that we need to learn at various stages in our Christian life, that if we're not going through these problems successfully, that is gleaning and drawing from God his promises, his precepts, his principles, and abiding by them, and coming out on the other end of that trial successfully, or that test or that distress, whatever it is, come out successfully, then a degree of character is increased. And the more problems and the more we deal with them successfully, the more our character becomes like the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we gain greater insight between problems and how we handle them, the greater our appreciation for what was going on in the lives of his most trusted people. David, I'm speaking of here. And like David, like Daniel, and like Meshach and Abednego, Shadrach, can you imagine the stress they had to face? David, because of what his son Absalom had done, to say the least about what he had done with his sin with Bathsheba. But he got that all taken care of by God. But here's his son Absalom rebelling against him. David feeling like, how do I deal with this because of what I've done and what happened to one of Absalom's sisters and so on. So how do I handle this? And David didn't handle any of that very well. But he was going to learn a lesson through this one. But you look at Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. I mean, they talk about stress. They had some stress that they were facing. They had to make some decisions. They had to make some choices. And they came through it successfully. How about Joseph, to mention another name? Talk about stress. No matter what he did right, it landed him up what he thought was in the wrong place. But he did right, and even though it didn't look like he landed in the right place, it was the right place because that's the place where God wanted him, because God had some lessons he had to learn. Peter had to fail before preaching and seeing 3,000 souls added to the church daily. So a great deal of our problem is that we view problems in the wrong way. They are not typically designed to frustrate. They're not typically designed to confuse or necessarily to punish us. Rather, for the purpose of character building, as problems always equal potential. Think about that next time you have a little bit of stress in your life. Say, well, let me say, this stress equals potential. In this distressful moment or this distressful situation, there is the potential for me to grow spiritually. There is the potential for me to learn something about God that I did not know before, or to experience something with God that I have never experienced before with God either. Let's face it, we have not experienced everything that we could possibly experience with God, have we? Really look at our lives. Boy, there's a lot of things that God wants to share with us, and he wants us to share with him. Same thing with the Lord. There's a lot of things that he wants us to share in his life with. So the purpose for character building is, problems always equal potential, as God allows, because he sees in us the potential of becoming better, of becoming greater, or becoming stronger spiritually. I mean, you do want to be more spiritual at the end of this year than you were at the end of 2018, right? We don't want to maintain the status quo so that I'm the same in, when 2019 comes to an end, that there's nothing difference between how 2018 ended. Being a stagnant Christian is not exactly a very exciting lifestyle. So there's a growth potential, a spiritual growth potential, that we realize when we're going through problems. Now, that was just step number one. Step number two is seeking truth builds character in verse 2. It said, "Oh, ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" Now, that word leasing has to do with briberies, if you will. So in this verse, David questions how long these people will believe a lie. How long will these people believe an untruth? Remember, Absalom, over a period of a couple of years, stole the hearts of the people by convincing them. He met them when they were at the gate, and he pulled them aside, asked them what their problems were, what were their troubles, and he said, "You know, I think I could help you in this area. I think I can do a better job." And so the Bible says that Absalom stole the hearts of the people. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, you can look at that later, just mark it down. But David didn't care, is what Absalom was saying. He said, "My father, King David, he doesn't care for you as he should or as he once did. And that he, that is Absalom, would be a more caring king than David. And he did. A lot of people followed him. And so David doesn't understand how an entire nation could allow themselves to be duped by someone of such low character. They had to know Absalom's character. I mean, he had been exiled for several years before he was ever brought back. And yet they fell for him. I mean, just like we have, politically speaking, a lot of people falling for a lot of foolishness. A lot of people bought into a number of big, major, flat-out lies that came out in the news. And, oh, yeah, we lied. Well, the news media just simply says, oh, well, you know, no big deal. Of course, you know, Republicans can't lie. Everybody else can lie. I don't know. And get away with it anyway. Well, God's going to have a good time at some point. Anyway, the answer continues. As people of all ages are quite content to believe a lie. I mean, it's amazing. Hitler got where he got because he told a lie. Someone says if you tell a lie often enough and you tell it big enough and you tell it often enough, you'll be surprised how many people will follow. Now, Germany was a nation that really needed to hear whatever it was that they needed to hear to get back where they could kind of feel good about day, getting up in the morning or going throughout the day, because they were economically a total disaster. And so Hitler came along and he proffered a lie. Something that the people said, well, probably in their hearts, they said, well, we know it's a lie, but it sounds good. And he kept at it and he kept at it until eventually he convinced the nation that they could just kill all these kind of different kind of people, whether they were Jews or invalids or whether they were mentally disabled, whatever else. And so they just kind of went along with it. It's amazing. Our political leaders do it all the time. And the re-election proves the point that people are willing to buy into a lie. That's the only thing I can figure. How do you keep electing these individuals who keep wanting to rob your money, take your money out of your back pocket and whatever else, and we keep putting them back in office? So it is why gossip has such power for evil, because people really want to hear the latest, most gossipy, juicy lie. Those tabloids, that's amazing. Why anybody would buy those stupid things is beyond me. You know that there may be just one word in that whole thing that might be correct, and they build this entire fabricated lie all around the whole thing there. And people, because people just love gossip. And, of course, the Bible is very clear about that. No gossip. Proverbs says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Amen? So we tend to believe the worst about others. We'd like to know, okay, well, that church failed because of this, and that church failed because of that, or this person over there, they failed because of that there. And somehow it makes us feel good because we may not be in that same boat at that time. And at the same time, reluctant or stubborn to accept the truth. So if you put the truth out there and you put a lie out there, people are going to, well, you know what, the lie just sounds a little nicer than the truth, because the truth means I'm going to do some work. When you come to the Word of God and you come to the Word of God of truth, folks, you just can't sit idly by and just kind of read it and have everything fall into place. We have to do something with the truth. We've got to exercise. We have to execute. We have to follow the truth. And so, you know what? I'll be honest with you. The Christian life is really a lot of work. So this is where seeking builds character. God deliberately chose to hide this truth, His truth, I should say, including answers to our problems in His Word, so that you and I would have to get in the Word. Wouldn't it be nice to just be able to sit down at a seat and say, Lord, you know, I've got this problem today here, and I'm just going to kind of sit here until it kind of pops in my head. Now, that might work if you have memorized a tremendous amount of Scripture, but the truth of the matter is you still need to be in the Word of God. If you have a problem, don't sit by and let that problem keep you from the Word of God, because the problem is there to make you go into the Word of God, get into the Word of God, and keep reading until something comes out. That is something that will address the problem. Now, you say, well, does He really hide His truth and answers in the Word of God? And the answer is Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2 says, it is the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. If God has put it in here, then we need to search it out. We need to look for it because it's in there. How to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better parent, how to be a better family, how to be a better business person, how to be a better believer. Oh, how to be a better witness. How to handle your finances. Is there anything in our lives that we can't find a solution to or direction for in the Word of God? No, it's all right there. But he says there, but the honor of kings. It's the same thing as you and I. It would be the same honor to any one of us that is searching out in the Scriptures. Now, searching for truth will build character, for if we're not willing to inconvenience ourselves to seek for truth in the scriptures and look for the answers, we will most certainly not inconvenience ourselves to live those truths if we should discover it or should find it. Because maybe someone can come alongside of it and say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says. Oh, really? Are you likely, if you had to depend on someone else, to bring it to you? I don't mind counseling. I enjoy counseling. But Dr. J. Adams will tell you constantly that when you enter into counseling, and this is true when it's the parents working with your children, when you enter into counseling, just because they start taking a step or two in the right direction, isn't, you say, okay, it's all taken care of, it's all solved. He says you keep on going with it until it becomes a habit, or until you're convinced that, hey, they're not just kind of discovering something new today and going to forget about it by tomorrow. A lot of counseling is never complete because the counselor and the counselees tend to stop too short. And so it's the same thing here. You know, you can bring someone in, you can counsel with them and share with them the Word of God, share with them the truth they need to hear. And hopefully they're going to follow through with that, but you need to keep in contact, constantly contact with them so that they keep on walking in that particular direction. So, is this not why the Jews killed the prophets as well as Christ? They didn't want to hear the truth. They were happy, at least they thought they were happy, living the way they were living. Living just like all their counterparts around there, their neighbors and those who were living within the nation of Israel that should have been cast out. They were adopting their idols. They were adopting their belief systems. They were adopting so much of what of the world that when the prophets came with the truth, they killed them. They didn't want to hear the truth. Luke chapter 13, we'll turn there. We're all familiar with Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Now, why were they sent? They were sent because they were coming with God's truth. You're going down the wrong direction. You're headed in the wrong road. You need to turn around. You need to get back where you're supposed to be. You need to forsake your sin and get rid of these idols and get back to where you once were. And he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings? And he says, and ye would not, and ye would not. They killed prophet after prophet after prophet. They either stoned them or they cruelly treated them. Tradition has it that Isaiah was placed inside of a hollowed log and sawn in half. They were vicious and they were cruel. Have you ever noticed that when people are confronted with the truth and they don't want to hear it? They can get pretty nasty. Whether you're talking about homosexuality, whether you're talking about same-sex marriages. Boy, you talk to the world about that. And what, I mean, who are the ones who are the really nasty ones out there? Who are the ones who respond with the most violence and the vehement foul language? Hey, Michigan, I believe, has elected a representative out there who is about as profane. I'd like to say she's a potty mouth, but she's a cesspool mouth. And that's what's being elected. That's this generation that's coming along. So, at some point, we have to realize if whoever votes these people in office, that it's going to get tough for the Christian down the road. It's going to get terrible. So, you better make sure you're going to stand where you should stand. So, the problem with truth for the lost is it reveals the true level of their character, which is almost always lower than they're wanting to admit that it is. And that can be true for Christians. The only way to increase character is through truth. Truth and character will increase by a willingness on our part to seek more truth. More truth being lived will bring more character. A character that's more in keeping with who Christ is and who the Holy Spirit wants us to be an image of. Amen? Okay, I hope that's not rain. All right, we're going to prayer time here to try to get you folks home before.